strength.
May.
May.
My.
Pasha.
Behold.
Maya.
Of Maya.
Srimaya.
In the shape of a woman.
Jayanaha.
Conquerors.
Visham.
Of all directions.
Yaha.
Who?
Karoti.
Makes.
Padaakrantam.
Following at her heels.
Bruvi.
Of her eyebrows.
Drimbena.
By the movement.
Kevalam.
Merely. It's another one of those heavy verses. Maybe we'll just skip over this part of the Bhagavatam. No. Translation, just try to understand the mighty strength of my Maya in the shape of woman, who by the mere movement of her eyebrows can keep even the greatest conquerors of the world under her grip. So you can repeat. Just try to understand. The mighty strength of my Maya.
In the shape of woman.
Who by the mere movement
of her eyebrows
can keep even the greatest conquerors
of the world under her grip.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are many instances in the history of the world of a great conqueror's being captivated by the charms of a Cleopatra. One has to study the captivating potency of woman and man's attraction for that potency. From what source was this generated? According to Vedanta Sutra, we can understand that everything is generated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is enunciated there, Janmadyasya Yataha. This means that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Supreme Person Brahman, the Absolute Truth, is the source from whom everything emanates. The captivating power of woman and man's susceptibility to such attraction must also exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world and must be represented in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The Lord is the Supreme Person, the Supreme Male. As a common male wants to be attracted by a female, similarly, that propensity is in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also wants to be attracted by the beautiful features of woman. Now the question is, if he wants to be captivated by such womanly attraction, would he be attracted by any material woman? It is not possible. Even persons who are in this material existence can give up womanly attraction if they are attracted by the Supreme Brahman. Such was the case with Haridas Thakur. A beautiful prostitute tried to attract him in the dead of night, but since he was situated in devotional service and transcendental love of Godhead, Haridas Thakur was not captivated. Rather, he turned the prostitute into a great devotee by his transcendental association. This material attraction, therefore, certainly cannot attract the Supreme Lord. When he wants to be attracted by a woman, he has to create such a woman from his own energy. That woman is Radharani. It is explained by the Goswamis that Radharani is the manifestation of the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Supreme Lord wants to derive transcendental pleasure, he has to create a woman from his internal potency. Thus, the tendency to be attracted by womanly beauty is natural because it exists in the spiritual world. In the material world, it is reflected pervertedly, and therefore there are so many inebrieties. Instead of being attracted by material beauty, if one is accustomed to be attracted by the beauty of Radharani and Krishna, then the statement in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate, holds true. When one is attracted by the transcendental beauty of Radha and Krishna, he is no longer attracted by material feminine beauty. But that is the special significance of Radha Krishna worship. That is testified to by Yamunacharya. He says, since I have become attracted by the beauty of Radha and Krishna, when there is attraction for a woman or a memory of sex life with a woman, I at once spit on it, and my face turns in disgust. When we are attracted by Madan Mohan and the beauty of Krishna and his consorts, then the shackles of conditioned life, namely the beauty of a material woman, cannot attract us. So, Balam me pashyamaya strimaya jayano disham yakaroti padakrantan bruvi jrimpena kevalam. So Om Ganati Madandasha Garanjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Viditam Yena Tasmai Shigaravena Maha. So as I mentioned the last few days, so the women don't feel bad about this, for the man, woman is woman, and for the woman, man is woman. So that should be understood. Even though this is told from the man's perspective, you know, the man getting entangled in the illusory energy of the Lord. The point is both the man and the woman can get entangled by the attraction to the opposite sex. But the key word to understand is here, maya, of Krishna's illusory energy. So in other words, it's not precisely that the women are bewildering the men. It's Krishna's illusory energy is bewildering you. That's the point. And Krishna's utilizing the ladies to do that, or utilizing the men to do that. So don't blame, in other words, don't blame the women. It ain't their fault. Don't blame the men. It ain't their fault either. It's Krishna's fault. No. It's not Krishna's fault. It's your fault. Just like the king one time asked the sage, you know, why is the illusory energy so strong? And the sage, instead of answering verbally, he ran up to a pillar and started to embrace the pillar and said, let me go, let me go, let me go. So, you know, it's our fault. We wanted it. You asked for it. It was a TV show or something before called You Asked For It, like that. So we asked for it and we got it. You know, we're here in the material world and we're responsible for everything that happens and everything we did. And we're also responsible to get out of the material world. But one thing I'd like to talk about is quite interesting here. Like Prabhupada makes reference to the second verse in the Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra, of course, is one of the primary literatures studied by sannyasis and sages since time immemorial. And the second verse is Janmadyasha Yataha, which is actually very similar to the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning. In other words, the absolute truth is that from which, what? Everything comes. And the first verse of the Vedanta is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now is the time to look for the absolute truth. So it's interesting that this second verse of the Vedanta Sutra, Janma Dyasya Tiyataha, actually defeats the Mayavadis. The interesting thing about the Mayavadis, impersonalists, Advaitavadis, in their commentaries and their understanding of the Vedanta Sutra, is they have inherent contradictions. When you're analyzing some scriptural work, then there's two things you have to have. In other words, to have a bona fide analysis, a bona fide commentary. One is called completeness, and the other one is called that work. I forget the exact word, but it works in every instance. You know, it actually works. So completeness means it doesn't have an internal contradiction. So the Mayavadis, what their proposal is, that actually, not that everything comes from the absolute truth, but everything is the absolute truth. You know, everything is one, basically. And that we are in illusion, but even illusion is an illusion, which is hard to understand. So if you ask the Mayavadis, you know, because in other words, we're all one, we're all Brahman. They posit that there's a illusory Brahman and a real Brahman, and the illusory Brahman doesn't actually exist, nor does illusion exist. So that's an internal contradiction, because if illusion didn't exist, why would we be an illusion? Which is kind of funny, anyway. So just that statement in the Vedanta Sutra, Janma Jasya Yataha, really defeats the Mayavadi conception of spiritual life. So that's interesting from this perspective. So in other words, whatever we see here in this world is a manifestation of the Lord's energies. Purasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shuyate Swabhavaki Jnana Balakriya. The Lord has multifarious energies. He has internal material energy, which is Vidyakarma Sangaya, and he has the Jiva soul. So this we should understand. Everything is the Lord's energies. And once you understand that, you can overcome, you can actually overcome the attraction to the Lord's external energies, and you should focus on the Lord's internal energies. So now we'll go into the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, which we're attempting to complete this month, because the Chaitanya Shikshamrita is talking about how to experience, at this particular juncture, how to experience the rati, or the attraction for the internal potency of the Lord, so that one gives up his attraction, his or her attraction, for the external potency of the Lord. So we're talking about bhava now. Bhava, of course, means the emotion. Just like you find described in this verse we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the bhava of someone who's being attracted by Krishna's illusory energy. Yeah, so there is a bhava there. You know, what's that bhava? When a lady moves her eyebrows. It's not like Dvidvita gorilla moving his eyebrows. You know, that's scary. But when a lady... All the ladies should try that, you know. You should do physical rehab with your eyebrows. Anyway, so... And the men, I guess they flex their muscles or something like that. They have men's eyebrows don't attract women, unless they're real bushy and big. Anyway, so the men, they can just, you know, flex their muscles, show... What is that called? Abs. It's called six-pack abs. Anyway, I don't know if you know what that is. I'm not going to tell you what it is anyway. So it stimulates an emotion. What is that called as far as the bhavas are concerned? Does anyone know the stimulating bhava? What is the name of that technically? What? Vibhava. Yeah. It means that which stimulates an emotion. It's like in the material world, we have things that stimulate an emotion. Like, you know, like the smell, not only the, you know, the flapping of the eyebrows, but the like the smell of something. Like if you smell pizza or something like that, or it stimulates an emotion. Or even seeing a beautiful sunrise or sunset or a mountain other than Govardhan. It stimulates an emotion, isn't it? Wow. So that's called a material vibhav. So we have all these material vibhavs. Some of us, when we see a computer, we become stimulated with emotional responses. You know, wow. You know, if you happen to be a nerd, it's just like that. But so we have to have these spiritual vibhavas, and which means when we see something connected with Krishna, or Krishna himself, those are the two types. What are the names for that? Alambana and Udipana, remember? Alambana and Udipana. We're just reviewing the Madhurya Kadambani that we studied 2 years ago. Alambana and Udipana, that means Krishna. You know, if you see Krishna, of course he reminds you of Krishna, and you feel pretty ecstatic, you see the deities, or Udipana, you see what? Things related with Krishna. Let's say if I happen to be sitting here and a peacock feather floats by, and all of a sudden I can't continue giving Bhagavatam class. That's an Udipana. You understand? Just like that story of Mukunda, the physician, he was advising the Muslim king or Nawab, and the king was being fanned by a peacock fan, and he saw the fan, and what happened? He fainted. He fell to the ground. So we should be stimulated by those things. That's the cure. I mean, can you imagine being stimulated by the waving of some hairy eyebrows? That's stupid. I mean, what are the damn eyebrows anyway in this world? I mean, the hair is moochy. That's why we shave off the hair, the men. And, you know, it's moochy. It's described like if you're going to shave or you're going to cut your hair, you should shower afterwards before you can do deity worship or do anything clean because it's moochy. And then the skin that's underneath the hair is just like biomucus and air, and it's waving and you become attracted. Huh. You're at Maya. So we should develop the concept or develop the ability to see Krishna behind everything, and then everything becomes a vibhava then, which is interesting. Like Prabhupada said, you're sitting on the chair. What do you think? You're sitting on Krishna. This is Krishna's energy. Wow, it reminds me of Krishna. The computer reminds me of Krishna. I don't know how, but anyway. Krishna's service. So that's how we conquer the Maya while being in the material world. That's also part of Yukta Vairagya, using everything in Krishna's service, because everything you see can be used in Krishna's service. Several times the example is given. Like if you see an attractive person, you think, oh, they could make a good preacher of Krishna consciousness. So then you're no longer thinking of enjoying the person. Then he or she reminds you of Krishna. Or when you're preaching, you're preaching to people to bring them to Krishna. Anyway, so that's vibhava, alambana udipana. Okay, so now we're talking about attraction to Krishna. The rati, which is sometimes equated with, rati means attraction, and sometimes equated with bhava. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's five types of ratis or attraction. Here's... Yeah, okay. When bhava arises from the vaidhi bhaktas, within the vaidhi bhakta's heart, their lifestyle changes, and their... then they actually come to the platform of raganuga, and their rules and regulations become slackened, not that they break the rules and regulations, but their conduct becomes unpredictable. It's not that they become crazy. It's just that, you know, they're just so much in ecstasy, you can't predict when they're going to just like exhibit symptoms of ecstasy. So the change from vaidhi life to bhava is not abrupt, but the activities of bhava bhaktas, it's not abrupt, okay. But that means that gradually, if one's performing vaidhi, you'll have instances of bhava, you know, some emotions like that. And actually we studied, when we were studying the Madhurya Kadambini, that sometimes even one who is not on the vaidhi path, or at least not very advanced on the vaidhi path, or not on the spiritual path, he can experience some bhavas. And that's by the association of a pure devotee, or during an ecstatic kirtan or ecstatic bhagavatam class, and that's called dried up or burnt up ecstasies. Remember it? Does anyone remember we talked about that? That's why when we first met Prabhupada, we experienced ecstasy. That's called the dried up ecstasy, because we weren't very advanced, we're still not, but we associated with Prabhupada anyway. It says, when one comes to the platform of bhava, you have no more taste for pious activities or sinful activities, and no taste for doing things out of a sense of duty. You know, just the word duty has no meaning to you anymore. No inclination to imitate others, to get profit, adoration, distinction, and all the necessary things to take care of the body and the mind and the soul, the are taken care of automatically. In other words, the without effort, the Bhava Bhakta doesn't even notice how he's doing all these things. It just happens, okay? All right. So now we're going to read more about the qualities of the Bhava Bhakta. The qualities of someone who's on the stage of Bhava are nine. There's nine prominent ones. One is he's tolerant. Two is doesn't waste time. Three is detached. You'll recognize these as the qualities of a pure devotee. Then the next one is prideless. He's optimistic. What's the opposite of optimism? Pessimism. Oh, it's useless. Nothing's going to happen. It's never been worse. It'll always be worse. So a devotee's always optimistic, seeing the brighter side. Even if there's some difficulty, like if there's some fatal disease, he thinks, oh, now I get a chance to see Krishna. So eagerness for Krishna, constant relishment of Harinam, attachment to the descriptions of Krishna's qualities, and attachment to the places of Krishna's pastimes. Okay. So there's some description of that. Okay, we're going to go... They have a detachment for sense objects. That's just further explaining the nine qualities which we just listed. Those who find the world unfavorable for the cultivation of bhakti should restrict their needs, wear simple cloth, and that's one of the qualities, and obtain food that was offered to the Lord by begging. Okay, we're going to skip over this next page here. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about people who are false renunciates, who just like imitate renunciation for different purposes, and even take up the order of Babaji. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, false renunciates are divided into four classes, so you can actually analyze them. One are called the monkey renunciates. Monkey renunciates, actually it's really easy to understand who they are. They travel around committing sinful activities, and they have uncontrolled senses. And Prabhupada said, you know, they're swinging from one female monkey to another through the trees. Prabhupada also said that sometimes when people leave the Krishna conscious movement, they become monkey disciples. I don't know if you've read this before. That means they look in each other's faces and encourage each other with sense gratification. Good monkeys are known for looking at each other and making funny noises, isn't it? So that's what Prabhupada said, monkey disciples, Prabhupada commented on that. So there's monkey renunciates. The next one is false renunciates. False renunciates is those who take up the dress of the Babaji's or the renounced order so they can eat prasadam during the festivals. Get funeral rites performed by the Vaishnavas when they pass away. And more important than anything is get donations to enjoy food, ganja, and tobacco. And they're called false renunciates. And actually, Prabhupada gave the example that there was one of these false renunciates living next to him when he was in his household life. And he would put on his sannyas garb every day to collect donations and collect all his donations and bring them back, give them to his wife, and change into his white dhoti after that. That's called a false renunciate. So that these are the two... We've got two types so far of false or imitation renunciates. The next one is unsteady renunciates. Those who take up the renounce order of life or Babaji order of life because they've suffered so much in this material world due to poverty, sickness, their wife yelled at them. It says failure of marriage. And quarrel. They're called unsteady renunciates because they took it up for the wrong reasons. You know, just like sometimes you'll find people like, you know, they just become so renounced from household life because they have a miserable situation. But then like 2 years later, they get married again. They said, oh, this is useless, hopeless. I just want to take shelter of Krishna. And then, boop. And then the last type is those who, because of addiction to intoxicants, fail in married life or put on a show bhakti while intoxicated. And they learn how to act as a devotee with false symptoms, or they try to imitate the stage of bhava by posturing material emotions, are called imitative renunciates. So we actually saw that in our movement too. There was one prominent leader who began to take intoxicants, specifically marijuana, and he was exhibiting so-called symptoms of ecstasy. He even had, you know who I'm talking about anyway, I'm not going to mention names. Even had like tapes or CDs where he was just like crying for like half an hour. And the devotee, you know, crying sometimes for hours, and the devotees would just sit there. Wow, Gurudev is just really advanced. You go, ah. But Gurudev was really intoxicated, not advanced. So one has to be able to identify these. You know, you think it's a symptom of bhava, like to be crying, but, you know, you notice his weed in his room, then you know it's not bhava. Weed means, anyway, I won't tell you what that means. So real renunciation arises from bhakti. First of all, to become renounced and then search out bhakti is unnatural, and that's in most cases disastrous. In other words, you don't come, it's not first. First you take up bhakti, then you have real renunciation. Vasudevi Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaya Dahaitukam. In other words, renunciation is one of the angas, that means limbs, of bhakti. It's not that bhakti is one of the limbs or bhakti comes from renunciation. Everyone should understand that. It's not that you're going to become, that if you falsely make yourself renounce, it's going to be helpful towards Krishna consciousness. It's not that if you go on an orange, I remember I had one friend who went on an orange diet. That doesn't mean saffron. But he meant, he just kept eating oranges and he went crazy. Because if you simply take up renunciation without taking up bhakti first, then the sinful desire seed remains in the heart and ultimately you're going to succumb to it. Okay. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about pridelessness. He says, mana shunyata means the pridelessness of a pure devotee. But he said, however, some people, this is really funny, some people have no pride because they have nothing to be proud of. That's not the pridelessness of a pure devotee. You know, they're just, you know, bum on the street may have no pride too. That doesn't mean he's prideless. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that such pridelessness cannot be considered as an ornament of devotional life. And when bhava bhaktas become convinced that they can attain the Lord, it is called asha bandha. That basically Prabhupada translates that as hope against hope. That in spite of a devotee is very humble, so he understands, in spite of having no attraction for the processes of hearing and chanting, I know Krishna's going to save me. And then the light. There's no time. Okay. So we'll continue talking about bhava tomorrow. All glories to His divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura ki jai.